Father, I just ask you to prophetically use my mouth. Holy Spirit, you know what you want to say. Get my brain out of the way, which is becoming easier and easier to do, isn't it? And Lord, we just turn everything over to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The other night, we started this teaching. I didn't know I was going to teach it, but I did. On power. And the Lord began to deal with me. He's been dealing with me with little trials. You know, like salespeople who are not giving you your money when you take something back and stuff like that. And believe me, I've had big trials. So these are little trials. But sometimes those little trials really bring things to the surface. And the Lord is just beginning to show me, and we teach this on Tuesday night when the series is out, we'll include that in here, but about power plays. And power plays are always demonic. Power plays are always demonic. Because God, his name is power. Did you know that the Father's name, that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, and I'll show you where in a minute, is seated at the right hand of power? His name is power. Power belongs to him and to him alone. And before the fall, no one would even think of trying to have their own power or use their own power or their influence. They were just in the garden. They were just Adam and Eve before the fall were completely in the will of God, and he was totally in charge, and it was awesome. And the Bible calls that the rest. And you know, it says in Hebrews that there's still this rest, that the Israelites were not able to enter the rest. And yet there's still a rest, and there's going to be a people of God who will enter that rest. Christians have not yet entered that rest. We've had our toes in it. And there's probably been certain people throughout history, Christians throughout history, who were able to enter the rest. Stephen was obviously in the rest when they were stoning him, and he was singing and having this awesome time. Paul and Silas were in the rest when they were in that prison. They weren't doing a warfare formula of, you know, they worshiped so the chains came off. You know, if you're doing it as a formula, folks, it's works. Works is bondage. The two can look alike. But the difference, what we did earlier and what we, my desire is, Lord, let me minister in the rest. Let me just let you do what you want to do. And it's totally different than what you see everywhere, right? I mean, even if you think you're ready for radical, and it's been calm tonight as far as acceptable radical, but the party hasn't started yet. But the bottom line is, we are so geared towards formulas. Formulas are works. The rest is where you just flow and let God do his thing. And God was telling me, we gave out a book last week, and that was all God too. I mean, I made a 25 or 30, I don't know, 25 copies of this book I got off the internet. And I know this author, and I know he never copyrights anything, so I wasn't worried about it. And then he's turned it over to ministry, and in the bottom it said it was copyrighted and I needed permission. And the Holy Spirit told me that morning, I want you to give out 25 of these. And so I thought, Lord, and it was like 4:30 or whatever, and I said, this is how my day is. I said, Lord, the meeting's in a few hours. I have to have permission, and you told me to make them. Lord, just, I said, make them. So I emailed the place, and I just said, if anybody's there, I need permission to use these tonight. God told me to. I'm making them in faith, and I don't know. I won't do it without permission because I believe in God's authority, and I believe in the authority he sets up. And so I was making them thinking, well, I'll be using them next week because there's no way that somebody's going to call me on a Friday. It was like 5 o'clock. It was after 5 o'clock when I emailed. There's nobody in an office after 5 on a Friday. And the woman not only, and I just put down my phone numbers because I thought maybe somebody would call me here. And she called me and emailed me and gave me permission at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. I couldn't believe it. So we gave those out last week. But let me tell you where you can get one, because it's an awesome book. It's about how to get free from works. It's awesome. And I read this book maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know details. My life is a daily. I live the book of Acts, and I'm not playing. So I can't keep up with all that God's doing. I can't even tell you a week. It would take too long. I love God. He's so much fun. Too bad most of the church is bored because they don't know how to enter the kingdom. How can you be bored? Huh. But anyway, I want you to get this. I read this a couple years ago and I didn't even catch it. You know, I got a little bit from it. And I've seen myself preaching, and I know now God gave me a lot of the seed in this, and he gave me a 100-fold revelation on much of it, which I've been preaching and going to keep preaching. But anyway, it's at www.arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, Burt, B-U-R-T, one word, .com. And you can download it for free. And it's awesome. just some of the things he talks about. It's talk about the lost key. And he talks about people thought faith was the key. And people thought evangelism was the key. It's just really good. He has a very interesting way of writing too. He thought fasting and praying were the key. I love this. This is the one he says, "May I put this question to any who are fasting and praying? Why are you doing it? What is the motive that impels you to fast or pray? What I do in God's sight is not so important as why I am doing it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Better to have a scooter with petrol in the tank," he's from Wales, "than a Rolls-Royce revelation without faith. Of what use is the Rolls-Royce untaxed, unlicensed, rusting in the garage? But make no mistake about this, much better to have a Rolls-Royce and petrol or gas. A man can't fast and then write a book on it. How I fasted for 40 days. As this man can fast and write a book on it, how I fasted for 40 days, and his motive could be to let people see how wonderful he is." As the Lord's been just dealing with me, he said, "Cindy, you know, this week he was just telling me, I'm not near as concerned that they know how much you love me as I am that they know how lovable I am. I want them to know how accessible I am. I want them to know how easy I am to love. I want them to know how real I am. I don't really care what they think about you." He would do well to fast from living. Now listen to this. He would do well to fast from living to people. Jesus said, "How can you believe who receive honor of another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone? Again, wash your face and tell no man. Only prayer that is born of the Spirit and led of the Spirit is acceptable to God. James says, ye ask amiss that ye might consume it upon your lust. As the Savior slept, the disciples prayed, Master, save us, or we perish in the midst of the storm in Galilee. If they had real faith, they would have not prayed. They would have rested. As the hymn writer says, no water swallow the ship. Where lies the master of ocean, earth, and skies? This is not a criticism. It is a statement of fact. Maybe if we had been there, we would have been shouting along with the loudest. So then why should I pray and fast? So then why I pray and why I fast will make or break this issue and send me on my way, pursuing my course of searching for the lost key. Why, where, what?" Anyway, he goes on. He has so many revelations like that. And if you've heard a lot of our preaching or get a lot of our tapes, a lot of it in the last 2 years have been about getting to the motive. What is your motive? What is the motive of your heart? And if you're praying with the wrong motive, if you want to be seen, and this soul, if you ever get our tapes, they all kind of go together with what God does in a night, even when I don't have a clue what it's going to be. It always amazes me when I listen to them. But when the Lord was testing me, he's saying, what's your motive? Are you going to get up and cut this short because you care what they think? You know, are you worshiping me now and playing these tapes because you care about what the people think? Are you doing this to entertain them? Are you doing this so the anointing will come in so they'll be impressed with you? Are you doing this, or are you doing this because I told you to? If I don't even fill the room with my presence, which he did, but if I don't, and I tell you to do this, who are you as the clay to say to me, no, it doesn't make sense? God is going to raise up apostolic people who really, really will be free from the fear of man. And believe me, we're far from that. We are far from that. And then it feels so good to pass the test and to know God. Because if you don't pass the test, you just get to keep taking the test and taking the test and taking the test. You will move into the things God has for your life as quickly as you will learn what he wants to teach you. And as quickly as you will be changed by his Spirit. Or you can go, you know, those Israelites went around that desert for 40 years. And I heard it was, what, a couple year journey at the most? Or a couple weeks? A couple days? Oh, so goes our life. You know, you mean, Lord? Was it 11 days and they spent 40 years? Some of you have been going on your 10th or 15th year in the same mess, in the same trial, with the same junk. Some of you longer, and it was just a trip to the cross. See, and I want you to know this. Freedom of choice will always be there. So you can't say, I've been in this so long that I must be out soon. It has nothing to do with that. The way you know that you're on your way out is you're changing. I can talk to somebody and pretty much let you know, just based on where they're at, if they're going to get their victory or not. It's sad. A lot of times I can talk to somebody fighting cancer, saying all the right words, all the right words, and I'll know that I know they're going to die. I don't tell them that. So sometimes God will tell me how to tell them how to get shaken a little bit to go learn what they need to learn. Because whatever you're in, God has to take you deeper in Him and help you get free from what the enemy's doing. And some of them take a long time. I mean, I personally have been in a trial with my son's anemic state for 7-8 years. But I have learned a lot. And I have changed a lot. And I have died a lot. And I am not the same person who walked into that hospital when he was on his deathbed 7 or 8 years ago. And you can ask people who know me, I am not the same person. Hallelujah, thank God. I don't even like that person anymore. And so when the Lord was telling me, in about 2 years, if you keep passing these tests, I'm going to give you all those things I've shown you. But I don't want them to destroy you. And one of the things you have to know is I've got to be in charge. Jesus, number one, Jesus lived in the rest. What is the rest? The perfect, perfect, perfect will of God, where no flesh is, where he just orders all the steps. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And yet we buy into doctrine that tells us to take authority. It tells us to talk to devils. It tells us to tell the angels what to do. It even tells us to tell God what to do. Yeah, I tried that one a long time ago. Don't you even feel dumb praying some of the prayers? I do. I'm like, God, would you do this? Like he doesn't know what to do. I've quit anymore. I'm saying, you know what I mean. Help me to believe. Help my unbelief. Use me if you want. Show me how. Don't let me. My major prayer anymore, I mean actual straight out petition to the Lord is, don't let me miss you. Don't let me miss your will. See, you will keep going. I don't want to go around the desert anymore. I'm tired of it. But I've learned to trust him. See, you don't realize the desert was the easy place. If you go study it, in the desert, God took care of every provision. The promised land is where the giants were. My gosh, if the church can't even trust God in the desert, you get them in the promised land and there will be no church. I laugh about that sometimes. I'm like, Lord, if they really study this, it was better in the desert. But when he becomes everything you need and he orders your every step and he's even, you have his mind, you have the mind of Christ, then you're not worried about the promised land. Because it's not about you. If you could leave here tonight with one bumper sticker put on there, it's not about me. Yay! This is not about me. It's not up to me to get her out of the wheelchair. Jesus already did it. She's just on the journey to figure it out. Boy, when she does, watch out, people in wheelchairs. Because she'll have so much compassion. Hallelujah. To him has been given much, much is required. Many are called, few are chosen. It's not an automatic. I think there's going to be more people in heaven who missed glorifying the Father. I think there's going to be more people in heaven that he will not say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because many are called, few are chosen. You choose. You choose what kind of vessel you want to be. If you want to be hay and stubble and keep getting burnt in the fire, then you be hay and stubble. I want to be gold. I want to be gold. Gold has to put off all the things of the world, all of them, all the filth. God was telling me, I don't know if it was this last night or this morning, but he's so awesome. He's like, I want all of you, Cindy, from your toes to your fake fingernails to your hair. He goes, if you put on those fake nails, but they're for me, I don't care. If you want to color your hair, you know what the Lord said? As long as you're coloring it unto me, color it all you want. See, what's your motive? Because if it all starts to fall apart and you can't get to Miss Clairol, is it going to affect who you think you are? No. I went out and talked to a neighbor after the hurricane and forgot to wear makeup. He needed an inner healing, but it didn't bother me. I didn't realize it. I wonder why he didn't give me any eye contact. My husband's biggest fear was when I started going to the Pentecostal camp. That I think God was telling me I couldn't wear makeup. I was willing to get rid of makeup if that's what he wanted. But he told me he didn't care. Well, my husband really did care. I'm talking really, okay? My husband really cared. He loves me. And he sees me without makeup every day. And he, if he gets to choose A or B, which walks out the door, he chooses B. If the house was on fire, he'd let me come out anyway. He loves me anyway. This is an awesome teaching, and I would just really recommend that you get a really awesome praise tape, and you don't try to see how fast you can get through it, but you read one chapter and you let it soak. You know, as you really grow in God and you mature in God, and God really is real inside of you, I'm telling you what, when I read and study the Word on my bed. I'm just a real laid back, I like to be comfortable kind of person. And I put my Greek Bible there and my Strong's and everybody out and my whatever. And God tells me what to do and he shows me things. And that's the gift, that's a call in my life. That's something he teaches me that, you know, you don't have to try to do all that. Just do what he shows you. But so many times when I'm reading something, I almost always put a Walkman on. Because man, I was getting the anointing to read it.